2. We'll pick up where we left off. Verse 12. We're not going to finish the psalm tonight. We're going to do a few more verses, though. Psalm 102. We'll start in verse 12. We don't really know exactly who wrote this psalm. It would seem as though perhaps it was written maybe when God's people were in captivity, perhaps the Babylonian captivity. We see that in the language that we're going to read in these verses tonight. But what we saw in the first few verses of this psalm is it's a person who is struggling, who is suffering, who is experiencing some great affliction. And they are crying out to the Lord in the midst of their struggle. And I suspect that every one of us can relate to that, because life is hard. It's hard. Our jobs are hard. Family life is hard. Sometimes church is hard. School is hard. We lose people we love. We have sickness in our life or in the lives of people around us. We just hear of evils all over the world, all in this country. And so life is full of struggle. It's full of affliction. Now, praise the Lord, we come here tonight and we know where to go to. Maybe you're here tonight, you don't know where to go to, or maybe you're listening online. Well, where you go to is to the Lord. And that's what we see in Psalm 102. We see this psalmist crying out to the Lord that the Lord would hear his prayer in his time of affliction. And that's what we see in the first section that we looked at last week, the first 11 verses. So we'll pray and then we'll look at the next few. God, we come to you and we thank you for being good to us and hearing us on our good days and especially on our bad days, dear Lord. Perhaps there are some tonight that are afflicted, that are struggling, dear Lord, that life has just been hard for them. I pray, God, that tonight they would cast their burden upon Jesus Christ, who wants to carry that for them. I pray, God, that we would seek you and pray to you as the psalmist did, and that we would rejoice in you, dear Lord, knowing your power and your strength, that we would look forward with hope to the day of our deliverance. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 12. But you, Lord, are enthroned forever. Now, he had finished up in verse 11. He said, my days are like lengthening shadows, and I wither away like grass. And so he ends this first section on this really down note. I am withering away. My life is so horrible. But, he says, but you, Lord, are enthroned forever. Your name endures to all generations. You will rise up and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come, for your servants take delight in its stones and favor its dust. Now, in the context here, he's talking about Zion. He's talking about Jerusalem. And God's people are talking about, the psalmist here is talking about God's people experiencing some deliverance, returning to Jerusalem, that God's going to deliver them. Now, that's probably the context in which it's being written. That's not our context. Our deliverance is not necessarily from an enemy that we can go back to Jerusalem and to the walls of Jerusalem. But our deliverance needs to come from whatever our life situation is. What's your struggle? What's your pain? What's your sorrow? Whatever it is, that's what we want deliverance from. That's why we cry out to the Lord. That's why we seek Him. And so it doesn't matter what your situation is. The same God that heard the psalmist here hears us. And what did he say in verse 12? But you, Lord, are enthroned forever. Now, there's a good reminder there for us that whatever we are going through, God is on the throne. Brother Ernie used to say that all the time. God is on the throne. Maybe he got it from this verse. I'm not sure which verse in particular. But that was something I remembered him saying all the time. And what does that mean to us that God is on the throne? It means that God is in control. The one who is on the throne is the one who is in control. And so praise the Lord that He is in control. There's nothing that occurs in this life that is unknown to God, that is beyond God and beyond His power and beyond His control. And that's difficult for us because we see things in this world that aren't good. We see really evil things and really tough things that we go through. And it begs the question, why does God allow these things? If God is on the throne, if God is in control, then why do bad things occur? Well, I don't know a good answer for that. God knows. God sees the big picture. He knows what pieces need to fall into place to accomplish His will for His kingdom, that as many as possible would come to know Jesus Christ. But we don't always understand God's will and God's way, because God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But the psalmist knew who to trust in. He knew that in the midst of his affliction, in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his struggle, he knew this truth, and that is that God is in control. And we need to remember that in our struggles, that God is still on the throne today. He was when the psalmist wrote this psalm hundreds of years ago, and the same God is still in control today. And He is the one that gives us strength to get through the hard times. Continuing on in verse 15. Then the nations will fear the name of Yahweh, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord will rebuild Zion. He will appear in His glory. He will pay attention to the prayer of the destitute and will not despise their prayer. So everyone knows when God shows up. Obviously, there are enemies of the psalmist here. But when God shows onto the scene, even the enemies have to acknowledge the power of God. Now, there are plenty of people in our world today that deny God, that reject God. There are lots of people that would mock and make fun of Christians, make fun of us tonight for coming and singing songs and reading these words and saying that God is enthroned. There are a lot of people that would scoff at that very idea. But the psalmist knows that when God shows up onto the scene, that even those who would scoff at Him, even those who are our enemies, even those nations, even all those people will know that God is on the throne. And what did He say at the end of that part of the passage in verse 17? He will pay attention to the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. That's good news for us, because sometimes that's our life. Sometimes that's how we feel. So we can relate to this psalmist. And he reminds us here that God will hear our prayer. It doesn't always seem like it. There are things that we have prayed for many times and still praying for, some of us, that God has not answered, that He's not removed that thorn from our flesh yet. But what did He tell Paul when Paul prayed three times that God would remove the thorn from his flesh, whatever that may have been, a physical thorn, probably symbolic language there, whatever his struggle was. He had prayed that God would remove it, and God told Paul, He said, "Look, My grace is sufficient, for power is perfected in weakness." He didn't remove the thorn, but He said, "I'm going to give you the grace to get through what you're going through." And it would be great if God would instantly end all of our struggles. And sometimes He does. Sometimes He answers quickly. Sometimes He solves our problems and delivers us quickly. And other times He does not. But even when He does not, it does not mean that He does not hear our prayer. He does hear our prayer. And even if He doesn't end our suffering instantly, He does give us the grace to get through it. Verse 18. This will be written for a later generation, and a newly created people will praise the Lord. He looked down from His holy heights. The Lord gazed out from heaven to earth to hear a prisoner's groaning, to see those condemned to die, so that they might declare the name of Yahweh in Zion and His praise in Jerusalem, when peoples and kingdoms are assembled to serve the Lord. This will be written for what it says? It says, for later generations and newly created people. Isn't it beautiful that we can look at the words of Scripture, both in this psalm and all the stories of Scripture, and guess what? We are later generations. We are rejoicing in the work that God did through those who have come before us. We are rejoicing in the miracles. We are rejoicing in the deliverance. We are rejoicing in all of the ways in which God has worked. And as a result, guess what? Christianity is still thriving today, and it will continue to thrive. So long as there are people on this earth, there will be later generations that will come after us, that will rejoice in this same scripture, that will make it through their struggles because they are trusting in the Lord and because they know that God hears the prayers of those who are groaning. He says to hear a prisoner's groaning, to set those free, condemned to die. Now that may be in a very literal sense there. He may literally, and probably is literally, talking about prisoners condemned to literally die. But nonetheless, we are sometimes prisoners to our sin. Sometimes in our struggles and our situation, we think this is gonna, I can't do it anymore. I'm gonna die in this situation. I'm gonna die in this struggle, and it's never going to get better. But the psalmist reminds us that the Lord hears those prayers. He hears our prayers when we groan. He pays attention to us. And he may not always answer in the way in which we desire, but he will answer according to his will. And he will give us grace to get through whatever is before us. He'll deliver them so that, in verse 21, they might declare the name of Yahweh in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. So what does he say? The one who has been delivered is to praise the Lord. Do we do that? Do we praise the Lord? Maybe you've been delivered from something in the past. Have you praised the Lord? You should praise the Lord. Maybe even now, in the midst of our struggle and our suffering, we're so focused on all that negative and all that difficulty and hardship in our life that we just fail to realize that God is still good, that he still has blessed us in so many ways, that he still cares for us, that maybe life's not as bad as it looks. And maybe even in the midst of the struggle, there needs to be a praise. In the midst of our struggle, there needs to be a hallelujah. And certainly when God delivers us, we are quick to go to God when trouble strikes. And that's great. God desires for us to do that. He wants us to come when our hardships are upon us. But are we just as quick to go to God and praise him when God delivers us, or do we forget? Do we just pray with expectancy that God's just supposed to do what we ask, and then he does it, and okay, I'm through this spell. I'll go on about my life, and I'll call on you again, God, when I need you. Do we ever just stop and say, God, you have been so good to me, and you have delivered me in so many ways. God, I just want to thank you, and I want to praise you for what you've done in my life, or my loved one's life, or my churches, or my church people, or whatever goes on here. There are so many things that God has blessed us with, and we need to praise him for it. So if we're one of those who is in affliction and suffering tonight, we need to know that God is still on the throne, he hears our prayers, and we need to praise him for listening and for caring and for being there with us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your good word. I pray that you would help us to be a people who would seek you and who would trust you tonight. I pray that you would help us not to be overwhelmed by our afflictions and our burdens. But I pray that we would lay them at the foot of the cross, that we would repent of our sins, that we would just lay our burdens before you. We would lay our worries before you and our stresses before you. That you would just give us some deliverance, that you'd give us some peace, that you'd give us some grace, dear Lord. There are times in our life, dear Lord, and maybe some now that are just in the midst of some really intense circumstance. And God, we don't want to stay there. We don't want to be in those things, but sometimes we are for a while. And so I pray, God, for any who are in the middle of anything right now, that you just give them grace. God, if it's not your will to deliver them, that you give them grace and you give them strength to get through it. I pray, dear Lord, tonight that we would reflect on the many ways that you have been good to us, that we would rejoice in you and praise you tonight, that we would praise you for the deliverance, that we would praise you for the strength, and God, that we would long for the day that you get us through our current afflictions. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.